This is an uncensored podcast about sex and sexual topics. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the person or persons sharing them. Some names have been changed to preserve the anonymity of its participants. Like, not even funny. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before or not, but my dad used to have this saying, and it was, he used to go, "I'm busier than a one-arm wallpaper hanger." And that's horribly rude to all one-armed wallpaper hangers out there. But you can imagine that person would certainly have their work cut out for them. I don't know who's still hanging wallpaper, but yeah, anyone who's still applying wallpaper to their house is probably pretty busy anyway. Anyway, enough of that terrible joke that should never be continued on generationally. It's gonna die with me, and you know. Ooh, I need gas. I'm in my new car! I'm driving Charlie, who is my new car. And for those of you who watch my Instagram lives, I am Jermichael. I was talking about how I was, like, afraid that I had misgendered my car. But I just decided, like, it's okay. Like, if Charlie is not a boy car, like, I could still call him Charlie. Like, Charlie is kind of a unisexy name now. Super unisexy. I love it. So this is Charlie, and sometimes I'll call him Charles, and sometimes I'll call him Char-Char, and I'll be like, "Hey, Charlie." It'll be, like, so fun. So, and I also was, like, I had a very brief irrational moment of fear that, like, maybe Charlie would hate me because I'm gay, like, maybe my car doesn't like gay people, and, like, maybe, like, the only way I would know that he, like, hated me would be, like, if, like, he just, like, wasn't driving really well one day, and I was like, "Oh my god, what's wrong? Like, why are you, I tried to turn left, and you wouldn't let me, or, like, the brakes didn't work, and now I'm dead, like, fuck, you hate, is that a hate crime? Like, what the fuck, Charlie?" So, yeah, I don't have a lot of time on my hands, but apparently I still have time to create bullshit like that in my head, so there's that. That could be a segue to what I'm going to talk about today, but I'm going to say some other dumb shit first. So my point is I'm so busy and I have not had a chance to record, and I have some guests that I want to record with that I've kind of lined up informally. But I don't have any time to book guests at the moment because I'm not even going to say it again. There's no time. But that is only going to last for, like, the next week. Then I will have way more time because I'm doing a play. This is the second play, live theater, I've done during a pandemic. It's a production of On Golden Pond, which is kind of an offensive play. I had to try not to let them use certain racial terms. Like, they weren't going to do that anyway, but, like, I brought it up. I was like, so can we talk about the the word that's being used. I won't even, like, say what it is, because even, like, referring to it as the blank word is, like, not... It's, like, it's almost, like, still saying it. You know what I mean? So, like, and it's not exactly what you think I mean. It's, like, a similar term that's, like, still used maybe, but not really. Like, was maybe the preferred term for this type of person in, like, the 60s or maybe a little bit in the 70s, but, like, no. Not, definitely not anymore. And then they use, like, the word oriental, which is obviously not as, like, hot a word in as the other words I'm referring to. Like, I would say it just referencing it, but, like, it should be just as bad. It really should be. And, like, only old people say it now. And it's, like, every time they do, you go, like, no, we don't say that anymore. We just say Asian, or we just, like, don't specify. So, yeah, that happens. There's some gay jokes. There's some jokes about, Jewish people. You know, it's kind of an offensive play. And what's funny is they revised it in 2006, but, like, they didn't make it less offensive. They kept in things that maybe they should have taken out. And maybe in 2006, it was okay to, like, say those things just, like, because you were trying to make the character seem racist. But, like, we just, like, don't need to say it anymore. Like, you can still seem racist without saying those things. Like, the character's plenty racist just the way he acts, you know? So, anyway, that's that. And so I'm doing this play still, though. My character is not the one who's racist, so I'm actually just, like, being talked to by the racist character and being like, huh? And kind of, like, I've chosen to make my character not approve of what they're saying, so that's at least cool. But anyway, so yeah, basically, that show's gonna be over in, like a week? And then I will have so much more time, like, in my evenings. Because that's, like, when I would typically do my recording and my interviewing and my editing. I mean, there was, like, my Valentine's Day episode was a fucking week late just because I didn't have any time to edit that shit. I was like, okay, this is insane. And you might not think, like, oh, it doesn't take that long to edit a single podcast, but, like, I say some stupid shit that needs to be taken out. And, like, I'm a pretty PC person and, like, whatever, but, like, I still say stupid shit. I still say shit that I'm like, oh, wow, that's definitely gonna offend somebody. And, like, I'm not trying to censor myself a lot, but, like, I'm also trying to, like, not just piss people off for no reason. And, you know, even me, like, I'm someone who, and you're gonna hear that a little bit today, a little bit more, I'm someone who doesn't always know how to express what I mean, you know, like, sometimes it's hard, and especially when you're really, when something means a lot to you, like, an issue is, like, really close to your heart, sometimes you really don't have the words, or you're just like, let me see if I can, like, vomit out a bunch of words and just hope that, like, some of them are what I mean to say, you know? And some days you're further away, you're less in alignment with what you mean, you know? So there's that. So yeah, it takes some time to edit the kind of episodes that I do. And however, I think that, like, you still can hear, it still seems pretty unedited. When it finally gets published, you're like, did you cut anything out? This is ridiculous. Because I'm not trying to make myself sound smarter. There might be an attempt to make myself sound a little bit more professional. But not a huge attempt, clearly. And that's kind of a part of the style of my show. I like the messiness. Because I want to be relatable, you know? And I'm not, like, a sexpert. Like, I know a lot about sex, but I still have questions about sex. And I still have, like, things that I wonder about. Oh my God, every time I drive, I'm like terrified of being pulled over by a cop because I cannot have any more tickets. And there are so many fucking cops in this town. And I swear to God, all they do is pull people over for speeding. Like, it's not even, and like the highest concentration of pullovers happen like literally between my house and one of my workplaces that I don't even want to work at anymore. And I got two tickets. Wait, no, I got one ticket. I got one ticket driving to that workplace because I was running late. I was going about 80 and a 60. So that's, I think that's literally considered like reckless driving. But it's like, fuck. I hate cops. Anyway, I don't hate cops. I hate some cops. There's that. I got a second ticket a little bit later for not, like, failing to come to a complete stop at a stop sign. And that was bullshit. Because I basically did. And it was literally at a place where, like, there was no, there was no cars. There was no reason for me to come to a complete stop. There's no cars. There's, like, never any cars. It was, like, a deserted road. There just happened to be a cop hanging out. So anyway, enough about me. I also once got a ticket riding a bike because I went through a red light on my bike and he gave me a ticket. That was in New York. And I was like, you can't give me a fucking ticket. I'm on a bicycle. Like, you don't even require me to have a license to ride a bike. How can you expect me to know the laws of the road? I got so mad. Like, isn't that dumb? And I mean, I was literally in a residential neighborhood where there's a fucking stop sign on every other corner in Brooklyn, this was. And if I was like, if I had to stop at every stop sign, I would fucking be late. Like, it's impossible. Even in a car, it's like, start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. And like, I was on the main road, like through the neighborhood, I was on the busier road. And the cross streets are just little teensy tiny residential cross streets. And you can see, like, is there a car coming? You can see before you get to the intersection, like on a bike. And there was never, so I just went across. And then he pulled me over. And I was like, you fucker. So anyway, yeah, I hate cops. But I'm sure there's some that are great. But I haven't met them recently. So, if you're a great cop, and I would fuck a cop. I'd even fuck a cop that I hate. I think that's hot. I let you fuck me on the front of my car. That's fucking hot. But, like, I still hate you. Anyway, I don't know that I would date or marry a cop. Not sure about that. Casually date? Yes. More than that? No. So, before I get into today's topic, I just want to, because it's going to be actually quite serious, I wanted to just, like, tell y'all that. I also don't have a guest today, so if you really like to just hear me riff off another person, it's not going to happen. I'm going to be riffing off myself, and, you know, that, I'm pretty good at doing that. I think, I should say, I've been listening to... my goal is to listen to every single episode that I've done so far and try to post something for each episode on our Instagram and maybe even on Twitter, because I have not done that. And I would like to get in the habit of every time I post an episode doing something on our Instagram and our Twitter. And I think our Twitter is Make Sex Pod, and our Instagram is Make Sex With Me Podcast. I had to do Make Sex Pod on Twitter because they, like, wouldn't let me have more than a certain amount of characters or something. And every Twitter handle is, like, an at mention, right? So it's that. Of course, I mentioned my personal Instagram is I Am Drew Michael on Instagram. I do have a personal Twitter. I don't remember what it is. And it's probably like Drew Michael or something. You don't have to follow me there. Oh, and I'm going to start saying the OnlyFans. If you're interested in following me on OnlyFans, I mean, fucking celebrities have OnlyFans now. Isn't that crazy? Fucking this guy, he's like light skin, maybe half black, comedian. I can't remember his fucking name. I just started following his OnlyFans because he's actually like really into showing his dick all the time. And he's got like a long, like flappy dick. Like it's kind of like, it looks like one of those dicks that might never get hard, but he just thinks it's hilarious. And it's like, it's not an ugly dick. It's pretty. I mean, I kind of wish he was uncircumcised, but I wish everyone was uncircumcised. But it's nice. You know, I would suck that dick. But anyway, it's mostly a joke. I think like a lot of celebrities are doing stuff and they're actually, it's kind of like shitty if they're trying to make a lot of extra money or something. Cause it's like, you're already possibly making way more money. Like stay out of this because like a lot of sex workers use OnlyFans to make money and you're just like, you already have money. Like stay out of this. Like also if you have a television show, you don't need a podcast. I'm sorry, but you don't. You already have an outlet and you already have a ton of money. Like Ellen DeGeneres, I love you. You don't need a podcast, sweetheart. No, you don't need to do everything. And maybe like this is an additional outlet for you to like say more and like be real. But are you going to be real? Are you going to be really real? Or are you just going to be more of the same? Stay out of it, lady. I mean, do whatever you want. You're a woman and I support you. But you're famous and you have more money than God. So just like, no, maybe. Okay. And yeah, if you're famous and you want an OnlyFans, you better show me your dick. Because, well, you don't have to. Not everyone on OnlyFans is doing nudity, but I want to see it. It's identity porn. That's one of my fetishes. There's something about like, if I see a dick and I don't see a face, I kind of don't care about the dick. It really turns me on to see the face. And I really love it when there's leaked photos of people. And I know that's like so pervy and gross, but like, that's okay. I'm a perv, all right? I'm fucking perverted and I love it. So anyway, yeah, follow us on social media. Guys, please, please, please rate, review, subscribe. It's so important for you to subscribe if you're listening to the podcast and you haven't subscribed. It also makes it easier for you to know when, like, new episodes come out. Because, like, you never know when the fuck I'm going to put out an episode, honestly. And then it really helps us as the podcast producers, you know. Like, we only get... I've already explained this, but we only really get better sponsorship if we have people subscribing. And ratings help too, but I'm not gonna ask everyone to rate it or review it, because that could take more time. Although if you're on Apple, you could just like hit the stars, just like, you know, hit 5 stars or whatever, or like even 3 stars, make it look like you genuinely rated it. Reviews, I mean, even if you just want to be like, Drew Michael's hot. He needs to lick my butthole. Like, you know, you can write that. I don't think Apple will post it because that's, like, you know, they don't do sex so much. But I would love it if you told me to lick your butthole. I might not do it, but I'd love it if you just said it. Okay. So we're going to take a little break and then I'm going to come back and talk some shit about myself. And bye. Oh, here's a word from our sponsor. And we're back.
Cooper!
And I've got doggies all over me.
Hi, Coopy.
Come on, Toss.
No, I said Tossy, not Cooper.
Oh my god, you're laying on me. Cooper is like a much bigger dog than Tossy. This is becoming a dog podcast. Cooper's like 45 pounds. Tossy's 8 pounds. And Cooper likes to jump on me like he's 8 pounds. He thinks he's a little baby, don't you?
Do you think you're a little baby?
And since my parents are on vacation, Cooper is like, he's just so like, I don't know, he needs like love. He's so like sad and he's been like running up to my room at night and like scratching on the door. And sometimes I wake up and hear him. Oh my god, there's butterflies outside literally mating. Little two little yellow butterflies just dancing in the air. Oh my God, what is this life? I saw some cardinals mating this morning too. Spring is in the air, unless you live in the north, oh yeah. But I live in the south, yeah, yeah. So now I'm in my house. I've got a little time for like a siesta. I wonder if I should water my mother's plants. They look kind of sad. They're actually my plants, but I made my mother take them because I was killing them. One of them she was unable to save. The rest are doing okay. But she's left me with them for 2 weeks, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I might kill them all. I'm a plant murderer. I take no joy in my victim's demise. I almost said surmise. Demise. However. So I'm kind of procrastinating talking about today's subject because it's really personal, but I do want to talk about it. I mean, I made the conscious decision, and I mean, this just happened yesterday. Okay. I have been, and I'm not going to name names, but some of you could probably figure out who I'm talking about. I've been talking to a person for literally a year. I met him when I went home for a funeral, and it was just like really cute the way we met at a cafe that my niece worked at, and I was like, oh my God, that guy's really cute. And then there was like a piano in the cafe, and at one point I went to the bathroom, and then when I was coming back from the bathroom, my niece was like, your presence has been requested at the piano for like some singing, because I'm a singer. And I was like, what? I was just in the fucking bathroom. Like, what's going on? Like, what? We have to go to a funeral. And so I went to the song. I went to the piano and sang a couple Adele songs, you know, because, you know, it's either Adele or Sam Smith with my gay ass. And so this guy was sitting at the piano, and I met him, and I mean, his name is David. It doesn't really matter. I don't think there's any way that anyone would track him down, but there's nothing, I'm not going to say anything bad about him. Because he didn't do anything wrong. But for the last year, we've been talking. And, you know, on that visit last year, I had my niece give him my number, and he texted me. And then we hung out. And it kind of felt, it was technically like a date. And, you know, we hugged at the end, and it was a little bit like, wow, you're leaving tomorrow to like go back to the South. And I was like, yeah, I am. And it was kind of like bittersweet, but you know, it changed the trajectory of what I want for my future a little bit, maybe. Like the idea of moving back to my hometown has been in my mind for at least the last 6 months. If not, you know, more than that. And so basically it came to a point in our relationship that, you know, was mostly over the phone, that he was talking about, you know, not just like hooking up with other guys, because I was like, I assume you're hooking up with other guys. I would be too if anybody was, you know, willing to hook up with me. I just feel like there's a drought around here. And we're not a thing. We're not exclusive. We're not in a romantic relationship. And, you know, we're just friends and we're working on our friendship. But in my mind, I was thinking that we were going to be, we were going to be together one day. And it's really hard because I have... And I said this, I said last night, I said, you know, I guess I didn't
credit my imagination enough. Like, I guess I didn't realize how active an imagination I really have, because honestly, I don't think of myself as being very imaginative. I don't know why. I'm good at manifesting, so I guess I would be, but I guess I just, like, when it comes to make-believe, I'm like, nah, I'll just watch a movie. Or, like, when it comes to, you know, becoming sexually aroused, you know, I just watch porn to do that. I'm not, like, fantasizing in my mind about something, you know, like, it's not real enough for me. I just kind of give up on that. So I guess just I thought porn killed my imagination, but nah, I guess it didn't, because I have this, I do kind of have this vivid fantasy life, and most people, I guess, fantasize about, like, dragons and unicorns and castles and shit, but I guess I fantasize about my life, what my life would be like with certain people. And I guess I fantasized about a life with him. And the thing is that we're still going to be close. We're not, I haven't even talked really about what happened, but he was, okay, let me just say it. He was talking not just about hooking up with people, but he was talking about being, having feelings for other people and other romantic interests and other love interests. And it got to the point where I was just like, I don't want to hear that. And I didn't tell him that. I just would kind of like brush it off. And I didn't know how to talk about it because I don't own him, you know, and we live in two different places, and I'm not trying to have like a long distance relationship per se. And I don't want to keep him from any form of happiness, or myself for that matter. If I found someone here, I wouldn't, like, you know, I wouldn't just say, oh, sorry, I'm already kind of involved with someone, because we've never had that talk. And so my thing was like, I just need to know where we're at, because it seemed like there was interest from both sides, but it just wasn't ever talked about, so we never started to become, it never came to fruition or whatever, it was never developed. So essentially, there's some guy that he really likes, and that's great, and he hasn't met him yet, but they've been talking a lot. And I just had, like, a couple nights ago, I had a really awkward, upsetting dream that he was telling me he was getting married. And I was, like, so upset that he was getting married to this guy. And I woke up just feeling like shit, like, really depressed about it. I finally was able to shake it. You know, like, eventually you can shake off the feelings from your dreams, but dreams can be really emotional sometimes. And you're asleep, like, you're, like, your most vulnerable, and you're all alone, and, you know, you can kind of go deep into an experience in your dreams. And I guess that's where I'm extremely imaginative, if any place. And so, sorry, my dog is just, like, rubbing himself all over the rug and being so loud. It's okay. I love you. I love you, Cooper. Now go lay down and shut the fuck up. So I woke up, and I remember I shared that dream. I said, you know, oh my God, I had a dream about you. And he was like, what was I doing? And I was like, you were like telling me you were getting married to this someone. And he's like, that's so funny, because I think I'm in love with this guy. And I was just like, this feels terrible to hear. Like, I hate it. And then I had the next night, I had more dreams like that about it. And I was just like, what the fuck? Obviously, there is just, I haven't expressed what I need to express to this person, and I'm not gonna find any peace if I don't. And so, I had no idea how to talk about it. I didn't have the words. It was so weird. I almost always have some words, even if they're stupid, to say about shit, you know. But I literally would just sit and go like there's nothing coming out of my mouth. I didn't know what to say to myself about it. I had some ideas about how I would go about talking about it with him, and, you know, I had to, like, spitball it. Is that what you say, spitball it? I had to, like, brainstorm. I had to call one of my best friends and be like, how do I talk about this? You know, like, what do I do? And her answer was so simple. She was like, well, you just need to figure out what you want from the relationship and what he wants from your relationship, and, like, see if you're on the same page. And I was just like, that's perfect. Why didn't I think of that? So last night, you know, we talked, and it was a really awkward conversation, and it felt like for a large part of it, he was ignoring me, and I almost was like, oh my God, he's, like, texting this other guy while we're on the phone. I'm, like, gonna fucking lose my mind. I'm so sad. Because I don't get angry. I get sad, you know? I never yell at people. I just kind of, like, implode. And, you know, when I'm heartbroken, I implode. I feel like for someone like me with anxiety, implosion is what you do. You don't explode. You implode. You get sucked inside yourself, and it's almost like you're in a prison of your own mind. Like, having a panic attack feels like you're trapped inside of a cell in your brain. It's really fucked up. So we got off the phone, and he was texting me, and he said something about this guy that he was having feelings for. And I said, you know what, like, I'm just gonna fucking start something. I'm gonna say whatever. And it was like, I did not know what to say. I finally just said, like, hey, sometime soon, like, we need to have a talk about our relationship. And he was like, what about now? And I was like, it's like 11:45. I'm like, fuck, I have to get up tomorrow morning. And basically it just came out, and I was just like, I don't know, like, how to say this. Like, I just want to know, like, what you want from our relationship and what I want. He was like, that's really weird. It makes it seem very transactional. And I was like, I don't mean it like that. I just want to know, like, are we on the same page with, like, how we feel for each other? And I was like, you know, honestly, I've never been able to tell you this, but, like, I have feelings for you. And a part of me wants to tell you I love you. And I think that's because I do love him, but it doesn't have to be, like, romantic love, because I care about him so much. Like, we become really good friends. But he's like, but you want to be sexual with me? And I was like, I could be eventually. Like, I mean, you're attractive, and, you know, I could love you like that. You know, like, we just need to be in the same fucking place. And he was like, yeah, I don't want to be romantic with you, and I don't want to be sexual with you. And his thing was like, sex always ruins friendships. And I was just like, okay, that is a bullshit excuse. That is a bullshit excuse. I don't think it's, he's not lying. I just think he doesn't know how to navigate the waters of that. And it's not easy. It's not easy to, like, have sex with your friend and still be friends and be sexual. Sorry, I had to let Tulsi out. She goes in and out, in and out, in and out all day long. If it's sunny outside, it's really great. So I think that there's plenty of times when you're friends with someone and then you start to realize that you want more, or not more, but just like a different kind of relationship, you know? And it's hard when someone says, like, I don't want to mess things up. I love our friendship and it's really important to me. I don't want to be sexual with you because, like, I feel like it would ruin it. That's hard because the kind of sexual relationship I want from a relationship, like, you know, is based in love. It's not based in control. It's not based in, like, getting out your aggression using someone else's body. Like, it's not anything but love. It's like being with, touching, smelling, sensing, coexisting, co-creating, it's tasting, it's feeling, it's meshing, it's worshiping, it's just all about just loving my body, loving your body, accepting, allowing, trusting, like all these things are words that I would use to describe the kind of sexual relationship I want to have with a partner. And the kinds of things that I deserve to have with a partner. I guess what I have to hear, first of all, the Maya Angelou quote, when someone tells you who they are, shows you who they are, believe them. That is something that I always come back to. And it's so much easier to say than to actually put into practice. But it is, that is always right. It is always right. Even if the person doesn't know who they are, when they tell you who they are, that's all that matters. What you think you are, you are. Unless you think you're like a superhero and you jump off a building and then you fall and die. I mean, you obviously weren't a superhero. But maybe in your reality you were. And maybe you didn't die in your reality. Maybe you just went to another dimension or something. I don't know. But as far as others are concerned, you are that thing, you know? I've had people say, oh, I'm a really bad person, or I'm a jerk, or I'm a coward, or this or that. And you go to a place of like, oh, no, you're not. You're awesome. Like, I think so highly of you. How could you think so poorly of yourself? I can't make that person like themselves if they don't. No amount of me telling them, reassuring them that they're a good person is going to make them believe they're a good person. I'm just constantly going to be fighting that. And at some point, they're going to act like a total shit fuck. And I'm going to be like, they were kind of right. Like, they just kept saying they were a shitty person, and then they acted like a shitty person. And I still know the truth. I know that they're not just a shitty person, but they don't, and therefore it doesn't matter. They don't realize that. And they're always going to say it. They're always going to believe it. And as long as they want to believe it, they will. And there's nothing I can do to change that. So I've been told things like that. Like, I don't want to mess up our friendship. Sex always ruins everything. I've been told things like, I don't want to hang out with you anymore because I'm going to fall in love with you. I've been told things like, you deserve a kind of love that I'm not capable of giving. And a lot of those things, it's really difficult for me to believe that they're not just like trying to spare me, like the embarrassment or the anguish. If that's the case, like, don't fucking dare do that shit. Like, be fucking real with me. Don't fucking make up some shit and try to, like, you know, to not upset me, because I'm upset regardless. And I'm even more upset if I feel like you're not being genuine. If it's the truth, so be it. But it's all just a bunch of bullshit because you're just afraid. And it's okay if you just don't want, you know, if you just don't want to be romantic with me or sexual with me, that's fine. If you just don't feel that, that's fine. It's harsh to tell a person that, but it's the truth. And you can't create emotion where there is none, for the most part, I don't think. But if you're just saying, like, some of the things I've heard before. What were the three things I just fucking said? You deserve a love that I can't give you. I can't keep hanging out with you because I'm going to fall in love with you.
Sex ruins everything. Those are all statements that are based in fear, and they are all... they're all bullshit, you know? And I don't know what I am all the time, but I guess I've always been brave. I mean, bravery is blindly running into battle, not knowing if you're going to survive. You could be scared. You could be shitting your pants. You're so scared. But you go anyway. And that is fucking bravery. And I have had those experiences in my life. I'm not bragging, but I've done those things. And I've done some things that almost make me feel like I'm fucking damaged and broken. But I think what I realize is that I'm here and I'm stronger because of those experiences. And there's trauma, but trauma is... I don't know if this is trauma. You're going to be hurt, and there's going to be a record of it in your mind and in your cells. And I think trauma is a term we use to regard like pain or suffering you've experienced in the past that hasn't been... I don't want to say resolved, but it hasn't been explored or worked on. I think there's a good amount of trauma that could be released. There's some trauma that might always be with you. Maybe some damages are irreparable. But... but there's something about our trauma. It doesn't define us, but I guess it does. It changes the trajectory of our future. Something happens to you and it changes the course of your path. You know, like the course of your path. Is that redundant? I think maybe. So what did I feel when he told me all of this last night? I was heartbroken, honestly, because I've been fantasizing about a life with this guy for the last year. At all different times, different layers were placed on this fantasy. It changed a little bit over the time, but I kept creating this life that I wanted to have with him in my mind. And... and I was really heartbroken last night. And it's funny because leading up to this experience last night, I kept having flashbacks from this fucking guy that the first guy I ever broke my heart. His name was Corey James. I probably talked about it. He lived in Seattle. I lived in Seattle too, but I was... home in Michigan for the summer working, and I wasn't going to go back till the end of the summer to Seattle. And he met me on MySpace, and we basically like had this whole all summer long phone relationship. And he told me I don't know if he told me he loved me, but he told me he like was so excited to meet me and I was so beautiful. And, you know, he hadn't felt this way about someone before. And, you know, he was going to pick me up at the airport when I got back, and at some point he was going to drive me up to Vancouver and make love to me at a bed and breakfast overlooking the ocean. And I was like, Jesus, like this guy really knows how to fucking lay on the schmaltz. But I was like, all of that. And then like the week before he made me promise to be exclusive with him. Like he was like, if you don't save yourself for me this summer, like I'm probably going to consider that we have different morals and different beliefs and that I just won't be into you anymore. And I was like, okay, like totally conditional love, totally controlling. And then a week before I was meant to fly back, he cheated on me. I mean, technically, because he was the one that made the rules. Like, I didn't even care if he fucked other people because we had never met, but he set down the rules, and therefore I was like he broke the rule, and he even apologized to me. And then a week later was dating the guy. The night before I was scheduled to fly back, told me, I have a boyfriend now. Isn't that great? And then acted like he had never said anything to me, had never made promises to me, never told me that we should be exclusive, never said he'd make love to me in a Vancouver bed and breakfast. None of it. He acted like none of it ever happened. And that fucked me so hard because, and I'm realizing now that he was probably a sociopath, but I'm realizing that he made me not be able to trust myself. It wasn't so much that he made me not be able to trust others. He made me not be able to trust myself. And that really fucking sucks. I don't know. So many times I don't know if I'm making something up about how someone else feels or acts. I don't know if I've ever been good at that, but it's really hard. It's really difficult. It makes me feel crazy. It makes me feel delusional. I go through periods of being like, am I a fucking sociopath? Am I an egotist? Do I just think everybody likes me? Or do I think nobody likes me? Is it all or nothing? Is that more of that all or nothing philosophy that I'm trying to escape? It's really hard. It's really hard. I just don't feel like I have a gauge. And then, so what I try to do, cause I don't understand, like, if I'm making something up or if it's really happening, is I just try to be really open and honest all the time. And then sometimes that fucking intimidates people because you can't just tell a person how you feel if you don't know them well, because they go, whoa, TMI. Or they just like go like, okay, cool, bye. And they just never want to talk to you again. I mean, I've gone through so many situations dating, especially in New York, where like, you have to be so chill until like date 3 or 4. You know, you can't say you like a person. You can't be too clingy. You can't do this. I mean, people just get spooked so fucking easy. And in a place like New York, there's so many fucking options. Like you could date a different guy every fucking day of the week. And, you know, it would be like a whole year before you met someone who like knew one of the other guys you dated, you know? Eventually you would have some awkward, like, oh, you dated my friend already. Ugh. But like, there's so many fucking people in New York. And just people always think like, oh, you're only a 9.5. I could get a 10. Oh, you're a 9.83. Oh yeah. There's like a 9.84 over there. Like, yeah, I don't know. I could get better than you. And like rating people even. Oh my God. You almost have to like, there's been times when I was going on dates with multiple guys in the same week. Like, not like every night of the week, but like I had 3 different dates in the same week. And I was like, I really like this guy. Oh, but I really like this guy too. Ooh, can I have them both? Can I have them both? Like, how can I make that work? You know? And it's just like, then you move to a place like where I am now and there's so much less option. And you're like, this guy's like a 4. And I think like, that's the best I'm going to find. This guy's a 10. Oh, but he has a wife and 3 kids. I mean, he'll jerk off with me in a sauna, but yeah, he's married. the whole thing, it brings up a lot from my past. And I guess the thing that is the most alarming but interesting and that makes me the most proud of myself is that as he was telling me, I felt a mini version of what I felt when Corey James told me he had a boyfriend. I had never felt my emotions manifest into physical pain. At least I don't have any prior memory of that before that moment, but I was physically in pain because my heart was broken when Corey James told me that on the phone. I literally called my mom and just started bawling, and she was like, "Oh shit." And she came out, and I was sitting on one of those like two people bench swings in the backyard of our cabin in our house in Michigan. And my mom came out and just like held me, and I just bawled. I didn't even have words. She was just like, "Oh, honey." And then I said, even though I wasn't 21, I was like, "I'm gonna drink all the wine in our fridge." And my mom was like, okay. And then I did. So I had a mini version of that last night, which it's funny because now I know that that was literally a panic attack. Like, I was so distressed when Corey James told me that, that I was having like a panic attack, and it felt like my chest was in a vice, you know? But last night I was able to identify that it was just like, it was like a sudden, it was like the chemicals in my body just switched to like, instead of going not on and off, but like, let's say you've got like releasing good feeling chemicals and then releasing like not good feeling chemicals. It just flipped the other way. And all of a sudden I felt terrible. I was like depressed, anxious, having a panic attack. My body was hurting. I felt like my ass dropped out. I actually had to go to the bathroom. I had to poop. I don't even think I could have cried at that moment because I was just like so scared at the reaction I was having and was like, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I can't stop feeling this, and I'm never going to be able to stop feeling this. I'm stuck for the rest of my life. I will be feeling this shitty." And that is what you feel when you're having a panic attack, by the way. That's what you think when it's happening. But I was smart enough and experienced enough to calm myself down. And I did not stop talking to David. I kept talking to him because, A, he said, "Keep talking to me, keep breathing, like stay with me. We're still having this conversation. Like, we're still friends. I still care about you. You still care about me. But this is the truth." I kept talking. I stayed in it. Instead of saying, "Okay, I'm going to go die in the corner. Bye." Well, like I've done so many times to hide my pain and to hide the fact how hurt I was. I've done that in the past. Hide my embarrassment. Hide my vulnerability. I stayed at the conversation, and eventually I calmed myself down and I said, "Okay, now I'm going to go to sleep." I said, "Good night, David." And I put on some music and I fell asleep. I didn't have any nasty dreams. And I woke up thinking about it, but it wasn't the same. I knew I had things to do today. It keeps coming back and forth, but I think talking about it is the most important thing, and not necessarily like creating a false narrative or a narrative where I'm like the victim or anything like that, but just saying I'm hurt, not placing the blame on myself, not placing the blame on David. I just got hurt. And there's a lot of figuring out I have to do. I should probably meditate on this. I should probably definitely consult my therapist, but life continues and there is someone. There's many people that can make me feel what I want to feel, and or not make me feel what I want to feel, but they can be the partner that I'm looking for. You know, I don't think you can get everything you want and need from one person. I mean, we need lots of people in our lives and they all provide different things for us. And yeah, that sounds transactional, but it is also the truth. You know, we provide things for others. They provide things for us. You know, sometimes that's like a literal service, you know, and sometimes it's just, increase the quality of your existence, you know, like just having this person in your life makes your life feel better. And there is an exchange being made. If it's transactional, that just means it's symbiotic, so that's good. So that's all I wanted to share with y'all. I do feel good saying it all out. It's so funny though, it's also happening at a time when it's like super warm outside. I feel like I'm having like a bit of a spring awakening. I said that 2021 was gonna be about preparedness, which strangely enough, I didn't feel like I was prepared to have the conversation I had with David, but I did it anyway. Maybe in an attempt to prepare myself for what is coming. I mean, everything is all about being prepared, getting ready to make some giant leap. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know that I will be supported by Source. I know that I will be, it will all work out. The universe is always working in my favor. And even if you don't understand why something drastic and catastrophically terrible is happening in that moment, I think you do eventually come to realize why it happened. I know we are sometimes really not able to justify things like the death of a loved one, especially if they're too young and whatnot, or like why people have to suffer. Those things are really hard to justify, but I will say that everybody dies. Absolutely 100% everybody dies. And everybody has emotions, and everybody experiences bad and good. We all suffer in different ways. Some people are hooked on measuring the amount of suffering and trying to compare, oh, this person suffered more than me, oh, I suffered more than anyone else. I don't think it matters. I don't think we have one life. And in some lives, I think you suffer immeasurably. Like, you suffered so much in this life, and in another life, you maybe don't suffer as much. I don't think no one suffers at all. I think even having a pampered existence can be difficult emotionally for some people. It fucks with your head. I was talking to a friend and I said, she was talking about her rich friends. And I said, doesn't a person like that feel weird when they already have a nice enough nose and then they go and get a surgery and get a nose job? Doesn't any part of them think like, I just spent however many thousands of dollars on this nose when my nose was fine. There was nothing wrong with it to begin with. And there's people who don't have food. Like, isn't that like a sign that like, it's not great being rich. Like, you do fucked up dumb shit that you don't need to do when other people have nothing. Like, there's something that's just not quite clicking in your head it's just not quite working out in your brain space when that's the shit that's going down. You think for some reason that slightly altering your nose is going to make your life better? I don't think that's what you're lacking. I'm not anti-plastic surgery, but, you know, and I'm stupid too. I'm not even like exempt from that stupidity. I fucking talk about, oh, I'm turning 35. That means I should start getting Botox. I have a wrinkle on my forehead. Oh, I have red bumps on my butt. Oh, it's like, you think that you're not finding the love of your life because you have red bumps on your butt? That's bullshit. That's been your narrative for far too long. You think it's your fault that life isn't working out the way you want it to? There's no benefit in placing blame. That's thinking about the past anyway. Trying to place blame, you're focused on the past. The future is about taking responsibility. What do you want for your future? You don't have to take responsibility for your past. Just take responsibility now, in this moment, and make it your own and make your choice. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to have love? Are you loving? Because you've got to love to find love. You got to have that love for others to be able to receive that love. Anything you put out comes back. It is a law. It is the law of attraction. So anyway, that's all I have to say, guys. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to keep this ending short and brief. I'm feeling pretty good at this moment. I didn't even cry. I kind of thought I would cry talking about all this, but I'm in a really good place. I've had so much therapy. I'm glad that I had that mini heart-wrenching panic attack last night. And I don't feel traumatized by it. I feel like it almost helped me touch on something, some other trauma that I had way, way back that I hadn't been able to access or really deal with. Like to feel something again years later. It's like 10 years later or something, you know? And I feel that and go, this is a choice. Feeling the way I felt back then, but I have the choice of how I'm gonna accept that or navigate that or how I'm going to file that. That's pretty remarkable. So anyway, I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Again, please subscribe. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter. Email the show if you want. Makesexwithmepodcast@gmail.com. I think that's it. Thanks. God damn it. I'll learn my own email one of these days. And I hope that you guys fill all of your holes. There's Tulsi barking. She says bye-bye. I hope you guys fill all your holes with whatever makes you happy. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening, lovers. I am so happy to bring this podcast to you, and I hope you're enjoying it. Please do not forget to subscribe on whatever platform you listen to. Like, leave us a review if you have the time and you feel up to it. And if you want to send us some sexy little stories of your own, or just let me know if I've said something stupid and fucked up and you wanted to correct me. It happens. Hey, whatever. You can email us at makesexwithmepodcast@gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram at makesexwithmepodcast and also on Twitter at makesexpod. Bye-bye.